Hello, my name's Oliver Wise, and this is my wife, Eleanor Hansen.
Hello.
And we're here with Christine Kessler, the third artist for the present group. It's August 24th, 2007, and we're in Oakland, California.
Christine, why don't you tell us a little bit about the title to start it off?
So the title of this piece is something that I guess I've been thinking about a lot since I've had a little bit of space away from the drawings. It always helps me to have a bit of distance from what I'm working on to really like process it and crystallize some thoughts. So I've been thinking about how this piece is really sort of a testament to my own impermanence and how I'm always just sort of moving from town to town, especially on this trip, just moving from town to town and not really having any permanent spot. And I'm the only one in my family who doesn't own their own home or own their land or anything. So, I think a lot about this.
And this is my wife, Eleanor Hansen.
Hello.
And we're here with Christine Kessler, the third artist for the present group. It's August 24th, 2007, and we're in Oakland, California.
Christine, why don't you tell us a little bit about the title to start it off?
So the title of this piece is something that I guess I've been thinking about a lot since I've had a little bit of space away from the drawings. It always helps me to have a bit of distance from what I'm working on to really like process it and crystallize some thoughts. So I've been thinking about how this piece is really sort of a testament to my own impermanence and how I'm always just sort of moving from town to town, especially on this trip, just moving from town to town and not really having any permanent spot. And I'm the only one in my family who doesn't own their own home or own their land or anything. So, I think a lot about this impermanence of my way of life. So I named this piece, I began building on a piece of land. Sort of multiple meanings, the piece of land being all of the drawings that I was making and looking at a plot of paper as a plot of land and starting my construction on that, or looking at the whole country of America as the piece of land that I began building on in terms of starting this trip and going all the way across the country. And then beginning to build is also something that ends up happening a lot in my work, where I'm not really building anything permanent. I'm not really making structures, but in the work, structures and architectural forms keep, coming up and keep starting to appear, especially in these drawings. And, while I was in Brooklyn and out west,
Are you also thinking of it sort of like building your new life,
Yeah, in a way,
Yeah,
definitely.
making steps across the country, like on
Yeah.
these like stepstones of
Yeah,
paper across.
totally. That could be it too. And then the part of, I guess the title kind of came to me after I heard this radio show, about how each person, comparing each person to an island in the sea, and how each tiny little island is seemingly, a separate entity and not connected to the other islands, but they're really connected by something that's not immediately visible. So this piece, like each drawing, seems to be its own little island, and it's not immediately connected to something else, but it's part of this string of works that were made as I traveled. So, and yeah, the beginning to build on a piece of land is just something that's completely metaphorical, but in a way it's real, and it's formally happening for me in these works.
It seems like travel has played a really important role in some of your work. This project seems like it was a little different because of you were immediately digesting and putting your experience on paper. How is that different from what you normally do when you travel?
So with the projects that I've done before while traveling, it's been mostly photography. So that is a completely different way of working. It's a different way of digesting the information. It really is, it calls for a whole different kind of processing, because with this, there's just this immediacy. I mean, drawing is such a great, it's such a great means for realizing that immediacy, and photography has so much process to it. I mean, you're seeing something, you're shooting, you know, multiple frames of it, and you don't actually have the finished product until later. So it's been really different just having these drawings to make. And oftentimes I would have, you know, three or four going at once on one day, and then I would finish them, and then the next day I would start another, like, three or four, and I would go back to the previous days, three or four, and, like, do a couple finishing touches on those. And so there was just this constant overlap, but I felt like I was just really, like, surrounded by the drawings, and there was constantly, like, some sort of thought process going for how the next one was going to turn out, or how it was, how I was going to work with it. Whereas with the photography work that I've done, it's just really different, because it's about, like, whatever happens to be there that you can capture in your lens. You know, it's not really a matter of your own transformation of the material.
So what was your process like? How did you approach each drawing?
There's really no plan for any of them. They're very spontaneous. The material that I had that I was working with was actually taken apart. It's been collected for years. I've been collecting printed material and found paper and my own drawings that have been scrapped for a long time. And actually, I made an installation in my studio in Brooklyn, which I took apart and kind of sifted in with the rest of this material. So I basically had this huge box that I was carrying around with me in the back seat of our rental car, and whenever we got to our motel, I would kind of set up camp in there, and that was one of the more challenging parts of it, because I'm just so used to having my studio exist, like, in a semi-permanent state of disarray, and with motels, it's like you constantly have to, like, be picking up and moving again. So, but yeah, so the process of these, really, it started out, you know, in Brooklyn, just having this completely wide open space of 65 drawings open to me, and just knowing that I didn't really want to stick to any sort of formula for them.
Right. Could you talk about that installation? It was An Island of One,
right? Yeah.
Is the title, and just a little bit about what that installation was about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was basically culminating in my mind for about, I would say, like, 2.5 years or so. I've been thinking about how to like, realize this installation, and it ended up being just perfect for my new studio, because I found this place, and I had been wanting to make sort of an archipelago of my own drawings, but in the form of their own sort of little world, you know, populated by different marks and congested areas of lots of built up paper and materials. And it really happened, and I was really happy with how it came out. But then I had to move out of my studio to move out here, and I just found out about this grant, and I thought, well, that sounds really perfect to just, like, have this installation become a part of the next body of work. So things end up working like that a lot with my drawings. I end up destroying a lot of the old ones that, yeah, not just not wanting to look at them anymore, and seeing parts of them that I want to use for other purposes, and just kind of tearing them apart. And I think a few of my last drawings actually have gone into these drawings, not even including the landscape of An Island of One. And the interesting thing about An Island of One is the thing that I heard on the radio about, in that radio show, about how, you know, these islands are seemingly unconnected. Mm-hmm. And so I had this piece that I named An Island of One, and it was really just about, like, kind of my own constructions and my own little fantasies, and here I was making it in like a studio and in a huge warehouse full of other studios in Brooklyn, and everyone was just, you know, compartmentalized and separated by like concrete slabs or walls or whatever, and just seemingly completely unconnected, but there was just this huge building just like teeming with like productivity. It was just, it was really, it was a great space.
Have you always drawn? Have you always had sketchbooks?
Yeah, actually, I've been drawing as long as I can remember. I have a drawing that I did when I was 3 years old that my mom saved, that was an aerial view of myself sitting at my bed praying. And I guess from then on out, it was pretty much like pretty obvious that I had this one direction to go in, and that was to draw everything. You know, yeah, I've never really had anything else that I've wanted to do with my life. There's never been any other option. And I've always had sketchbooks, and the sketchbooks actually have been a really good way of kind of exploring some of these symbols that come up in my work. Some of the, like you can see in here, like the infinity symbols and, you know, a bed and a house are all like really, just very richly symbolic, and have been coming up in my work for like years, just kind of as like a personal dictionary of symbology.
Do those symbols, do they carry really specific meanings for you?
Yeah, the infinity symbol and the bed and the house and everything, it's really, it kind of all goes back to the idea of just being completely, you know, a temporary thing, and the impermanence of me leading this life, you know, a bed being this place of ultimate comfort and, you know, feeling safe, and the house being so many things that, you know, are held inside of a house, and, you know, me lacking a house on this entire this entire trip, the house structure ends up making its way in there too. But yeah, it's really, it's kind of like a meditation on my own impermanence, I guess.
Do you sort of, you know, think up these symbols and then like put them on, or is it sort of like, it's like something that happens and then you sort of just like let it happen, you know? There's a lot of like...
I kind of let it happen, yeah. And honestly, a lot of them, except for the infinity symbol has been coming up a lot more lately, but it's just such a, it's such a good meditative kind of stroke. It's a really great like gesture to make. It's very calming, and it can also, you know, lead your eye into different places, and can be a really powerful visual you know, moment. So a lot of them are not really premeditated, but they are just sort of as much a part of my subconscious as the act of drawing itself.
What about language? You know, you write on the actual pieces, mm-hmm. you use bits of found paper that has written words on it, you know, even on your website, you write poems, and it just seems like language plays a big part in your work, and I don't know, possibly your life, mm-hmm. you know. How do you see language playing a part?
It's really, yeah, it's been a really huge part of my life. I used to go with my family to storytelling festivals when I was younger in Tennessee, and I think about a lot of my work in terms of storytelling. These days, just whether it's in the narrative of all of these different materials connected and forming something new, and then adding, you know, the written word in there, either as a form of mark making or as like an added component to that narrative that I'm creating. It's just, yeah, and then the, you know, the practice of writing can be really meditative and really just very calming. So it's really all of those. And I end up writing a lot when I'm on longer trips. I went to Central America for about 5.5-6 months about 3 years ago, and I ended up writing a ton while I was there. And I was also learning a new language at that time, so there was this constant, like, you know, processing in my head of like the visual language I was seeing, the first language of English, the second language of Spanish. There was like all these different languages coming into play. So it just, you know, it surrounds me.
So with the storytelling in your visual pieces, do you try and do like with every piece, do you try and sort of really tell something, or is it more sort of the built-up history and connections between like layers of paper or, you know, lines as sort of a storyline, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. just like a history of a mark, you know?
Yeah.
History of a piece of paper.
I think it's all those, because the history of all the paper that I have is, it can get really pretty deep and mysterious at points and unknown even to me. You know, a lot of the paper that I find in the street has other people's writing on it, which, you know, to me kind of sends this message about someone else's life. It's almost like I'm overhearing, you know, a little chunk of someone's day that they dropped for me to see. It's really about like transforming this material from something that someone discarded or something that, you know, was just like sitting in a garbage heap, and transforming it into something that can play a part in a maybe completely abstract story, or maybe can, you know, populate the land of whatever island it is that I'm building.
So is the story of these pieces all breaking up from each other and dispersing into other people's homes? Is that part of the story of this project?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I wasn't really, it's funny because every once in a while when I was making one of these, I would kind of envision, like, try to get a mental image of where it was going to end up, and it was just impossible. So it's really, the mystery of that is just really fascinating to me, too. And the fact that each of these people, the subscribers have, you know, a very small part of something much larger and something that represents, you know, a huge shift in my life, you know.
It seems like your work over the years has sort of progressively opened up. Mm-hmm. Even your line has gone from very sort of curly to a little bit looser, you know, a straighter line. And now even your collages and mark making has expanded up onto the walls and installations. Mm-hmm. Not so much on this piece, but another work. Do you see that trend continuing anymore?
Yeah, I think so. It felt really freeing to have this whole studio space in Brooklyn to make this installation, especially since I'd been, you know, kind of building it up in my mind for so long, just to finally have like the right spot to do it.
Was it hard then to, you know, bring it all back down to these even very small pieces of paper? Even though your experiences were so wide, you know, your travel, your trip was.
Yeah, the trip was really about like the space opening up before me, and I think it was definitely challenging to have, you know, a prescribed size, which, you know, I had picked obviously before I set out, but it was, and I think the way that I dealt with that was just to, like, keep things fluid and keep myself working on, you know, at least, like, three or four different pieces at once so that they were all just, you know, staying loose and staying pretty fresh. But, yeah, I really look forward to working more in kind of more spatial drawing experiments.
How did you begin the whole little series?
Well, I was in Brooklyn, and I was just really excited to go on this trip and to start this whole new, you know, completely mysterious, unknown portion of my life, you know, new city, new coast, new school, everything. And I was just really, there was just a couple of really great moments that happened, like towards the end of my trip, just spending really great time with people that I cared about there. And even, you know, sometimes somebody would send me a text message that said, thank you for the wonderful day, and that would end up in a drawing. Or, you know, I would just have this completely, you know, lackadaisical attitude about everything, you know, kind of like the first drawing says, fuck it, I'm leaving. You just start to become less attached to the all the, you know, kind of day-to-day pettiness that kind of bogs you down when you don't know that you're getting out of a place. And I don't know, sometimes that seems like kind of my reason for living is like just looking forward to something, finding out like what's the next thing that I have to look forward to. And if it's, you know, moving around or if it's like going to a new place, that's usually, you know, enough to keep me going.
It's funny because you know, with the title of the piece and what you were talking about your impermanence, it's like you have this conflict between wanting to have some permanence and wanting to have a place to make your mark on and wanting to let go of it completely at the same time.
Yeah, that's definitely a pretty prevalent theme in my work and my life. I was thinking about these drawings being kind of like a exercise of my own impermanence and the fact that they're all going to be, you know, spread out to people all over the country and that none of them are going to be with me anymore. And, you know, I have to basically like start a whole new body of work, knowing that everything that I've put into these and, you know, my installation in Brooklyn was put into these and all the other paper that I put into these. It's not like I'm, you know, my resources are exhausted, but it's really like starting fresh.
This is nice though.
Yeah, it's great. It's really great. It just, sometimes
like
I feel like, yeah, sometimes I feel like all
no
the paper
baggage
weighs me down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that box got pretty heavy.